Amon. Hey, Amon. It's weird being up here. I'm always back there doing stuff. But we're going to see how this goes. For those of y'all that don't know me, I'm Carter. I just got finished with freshman year at Mississippi State. I've been in the youth since seventh grade, when we were on the other side of the church. It's a really special thing to me to be able to preach to y'all now when I've been listening for so many years. Turn me down a little bit. Okay. All right. So I'm going to start off with a question for y'all. So we hear so much about having faith that have we ever really understood what the definition of faith is? So I just want like one or two people. What is faith? What? Believing without seeing? Having trust in somebody? Yeah. Yeah. Those are all really good. That's basically what it is. And I've got two verses to kind of help explain what they are. I've got Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If y'all want to turn there, you can. Do we have them on screen, Jonathan? Yeah. So, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, that's that version. I've got my version right here. I've got the New Living Translation Bible. It's more of a paraphrase than it actually is a translation word for word, but it's really good for helping to understand verses. So for me, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And then if you want to turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And I apologize, I have a lot of verses tonight, so we might be flipping through a lot. They should all be on screen, so you can just watch them on screen if you want to. But bear with me for flipping through all the pages. So Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. So I wanted to go over the definition of faith before we actually dive into what and how we use faith. Because we use our faith, like faith is just, it's basically what Christianity is. We're trusting a God that we can't see. We're trusting in Him to be with us in our daily lives, and we're relying on Him for strength in our lives. And so kind of like my first main point of this is finding strength in your life in general, but specifically through the hard times in your life. You're all in high school or middle school. We've got a few college and workforce people here. But we all go through those hard times where we struggle in our lives, we struggle in our faith. It happens to everybody. And so to help us through those situations, we need to stay strong in our faith, rely on God, and find the strength that you need to keep yourself up through God. And so a lot of times, our faith is tested in order to strengthen our relationship with God. Because testing our faith is really seeing how much we rely on God, how much that we just really go to God when we're going through those situations. Because that's what we need to do. When we're going through those hard times, we don't need to just linger by ourselves and say, I can go through it myself. I've got this. I've done this before. It's okay to rely on God. That's what we need to do. We need to go in God to prayer, to rely on Him, to ask Him for help. And through those hard times, God will make those hard times good in the long run. I was listening to a podcast and I heard this and I really liked it. God will make your hardest time your greatest arc in life. So your hardest time, your greatest struggle that you go through will lead you to one of the best moments of your life because you can learn from that hard moment. You can learn from it and you can grow stronger in your faith. And in these times, using your faith to stay strong during these hard times, we need to also remember not to lose God in these times. Because losing God in those times just leads us down a dark rabbit hole that is really hard to dig out of sometimes, especially by yourself. And we don't need to lose God in these times because God, He never loses us. You might think that God is just, you think He's forgotten about you. You're going through these hard times, you're wondering, if there's such a great God, why am I going through these hard times? And it brings you right back to this. Our faith is tested to strengthen your relationship with God. God wants us to have a strong relationship with Him. And sometimes in order to do that, we have to be tested. We have to be tested for how much do we really love God? How much do we really trust Him? And sometimes it's good to be tested on that kind of stuff. So if you want to turn to Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, or I'll just read it real quick. Again, you can just listen to these verses. You can turn to them. Like I said, I've got a lot of them, and I apologize for that. So Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Another word for refuge, and we'll see it later, it's different in some translations, but you can think of refuge as a fortress. Because kind of when I think of a refuge, I think of somewhere, you know, you're just kind of taking shelter and you're there. But I like the word fortress better. Because when you think of a fortress, you think, at least I think of this big stone tower, this big medieval thing that just, it just looks strong. It looks big, like it's protecting something on the inside. And that's how God is right here. God is our refuge and strength. And so what this is saying is that God is there to protect us when we need Him. Always ready to help us in times of trouble. When we're there and we need Him and we're in those hard times, God is there to help us. He's there to be our strength. Just because we might need strength, it doesn't mean it has to be our strength. We can use God's strength that He gives us in those hard times. And then Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Also, if you haven't read Deuteronomy, I haven't read Deuteronomy, but but I've read plenty of verses from it. I've heard so many verses from it, and what I've taken from Deuteronomy is it just seems like it has a lot of stuff that can help you through things. Because in the past, I've read a lot of verses through Deuteronomy about strength. And so that's what led me to Deuteronomy for this sermon. So chapter 31, verse 6, "So be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." And if you'll leave it up on screen, I like that translation better than I do this one, because this one says, "For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you." I don't necessarily like how that is worded. This one up here says, "Be strong and courageous, do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." The Lord your God who goes with you. That saying right there that God, He's not leaving you. Like I said, you might think that you're alone, you're sitting there and you're thinking, why has He left me? He's never left you. It might just not seem like He's there because you don't have the faith that He's there. And if you don't have the faith that He's there, He can't help you. He's giving you the signs. He's giving you what you need. But you're just not accepting that He's there and that He's given you these things. God is always with you. You just have to have the faith that He's actually there. And so now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we live by believing and not by seeing." Basically just another definition of faith. But this definition right here is so direct. "For we walk by faith, not by sight," is what y'all see. right here says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Faith is essentially just believing. It's what it is. You can use it as a Santa Claus analogy. Growing up, I'm sure most of us believed in Santa, that this guy comes down our chimney every night, and that he's leaving us presents. We believe this is... What? Okay, not every night. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, we wish. Okay, every Christmas Eve, Santa came, and we believed that. And we had the faith that he was coming every single Christmas Eve. And we kept believing that, and we believed it more because the presents were there. And we can look at it the same way with God. The more we believe in God, the more we're going to see those presents there in front of us. The more gifts we're going to receive because we choose to see them. Because we choose to believe that they're there. And having your faith, having a strong sense of faith in these hard times that you're going through can often lead to finding peace. Because when you have that strong faith, you're in God's presence, whether you might know it or not. But having that strong faith, you're believing in God, you're believing God is there, you're in God's presence. It's like God's just a friend right here, and he's just there with you. And you can think of a time where you can feel God's presence come over you. For me, it was, I think it was 2 years ago at Generate. At this time, my papaw, my mom's dad, he wasn't doing so great in health. This is kind of when his health started going downhill, and he was kind of in and out of the ER at this time. A lot of stuff going on with his back. I think he was down with COVID, and then COVID developed to pneumonia. So it was just really not a good time for him. And so, of course, I'm like, great, I have to be at church camp during this time rather than be back at home where he is in case something happens. Well, I hear a song for the very first time that night at worship. It was Another in the Fire. And this song, a couple of verses that stick out to me, and it is, there is another in the fire standing next to me. Those words right there hit so hard when I was going through those hard times. And if you don't know the story, it's talking about, I forget how you pronounce it. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so if you don't know the story, they're put into a fire, because a burning furnace, because they're choosing not to bow down to this big idolist statue that a king has built. Everybody else is worshiping this statue because the king is making them. But these three guys, they're not doing it because they believe in God and they know that you're not supposed to bow down to idols. So they're thrown into a fire. But they believe that they will be okay, and they start praying in that fire, praying to God to be with them and save them. And sure enough, there he is. He's right there standing with them, and they walk out of that fire untouched. Nothing. And so for the song Another in the Fire, that it's one of my favorite songs now. When it comes on the radio or my phone when I'm jamming in the truck, one of my favorite songs that I like to jam to because of those lyrics. And it reminds me that through those hard times we're going through, God is still there. But for us to know he's there, we have to believe that he's there. We have to have the faith that he's there. And so another point I want to go through is how we're God's children. And so I'm sure all of your parents try to protect you in some way. Some ways different than other parents. That's okay. But I'm sure they protect you in some way over some situation. Because parents, they want to shield their kids from the dangers of what's going on in the world. That's kind of like a parent's job, to protect their kids, to care for their kids. And that's how we need to look at God, God being a parent to us. And so we're going to turn back to Psalm 46, verse 7 this time. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And again, it uses fortress right there. So I explained how I look at fortress earlier, a big structure protecting something in the middle. And that's how God is with us. He's a parent to us. He's acting as a big cover, a big dome over us, trying to protect us. And then Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. This right here, his faithful promises are your armor and protections. This is going back to what I said earlier. Our strength doesn't have to be our own. You might not be able to find your own strength through these hard times, and that's okay. God's there to provide this strength for you. But for him to give you this strength, you have to have that faith. Without that faith, he can't give it to you. Because without that faith, without believing he's there, he can't be there for you. And so having that faith is important for him being there. So that's one way we can get through hard times. Another way that we can get through hard times in our lives is good community. If you know me and you've heard me in a small group or just talking before, you know I love me some good, strong community. And for this, I think that's what the church is all about. Without a good community, let's be honest, the church is nothing. Because the church is the people. And for there to be a good community, you have to have those good people. And you have to have strong people in that community to keep it going. And so for that, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. Got to find it in all these. Yeah, that's it. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. And I'm actually going to go through 27. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And I like it right here in this version too, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. This right here is explaining that with division in the church, you can't have a strong community. You can't have two sides clashing against each other in the church. You're not going to go anywhere. Because in the church, the whole church needs to be welcoming. The whole church needs to accept everybody. You can't have one side pulling you this way, the other side pulling you this way, and you're having to choose, what side do I go to in the church? The church needs to have the same body, one body in Christ that everybody makes up. So without the people of the church, without that good, strong community, the church is nothing. And so being in church with this strong community, now you need to find a community for yourself. You're still going through these hard times. You can't do it by yourself. You've got God by your side, but what if you don't have the faith that God is by your side? You need a community there to be by your side that you can talk with. And so we can turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Share each other's burdens. That's what friends are for. You might think friends are just for hanging out, having a good time with, going doing stupid fun stuff. And yeah, that's what friends are for. Friends are great for doing the stupid fun stuff and hanging out with each other and making memories. but they're also there to be the person that you need. You need those friends so that you don't have to carry everything by yourself. Because if you carry everything by yourself, you're going to crumble. You can't do life alone. All right? And that's what this youth group needs to be. We need to be a family, okay? Because everybody out there, the older, I don't want to say older people, but the people that are older than us, I'll say that, they don't necessarily, I guess, understand everything that we might be going through. And so that's what this youth group is for, to build a community within ourselves that we can build off of each other, make each other stronger. And so with having that group of people, you need to hang out with the group of people that you want to be. If you want to grow up to be a good, godly person, have that good Christian personality, then hang out with the people that want to have that same mindset, that want to have that same Christian personality. If you want to grow up to being a bad person, then hang out with bad people. That's your choice. But my point is, hang out with the people with how you want to be. What their personality is essentially how you want your personality to be. And again, I was watching the same podcast, and they said this, and it's a funny quote, but it makes sense when you kind of explain it. Chickens don't hang out with eagles. So chickens, you know, they're just kind of, they're there, they're small, they're on the ground, they're just kind of pecking at little bugs on the ground. And then you got eagles, they're flying, they're soaring in the air, they're looking for the prey at the bottom. If an eagle sees a chicken, they're probably going to get it. End of story right there. But so chickens are going to hang out with other chickens. People are going to hang out with their same people, people that are alike. Bullies are going to hang out with bullies. The small kids are going to hang out with the small kids. Okay? And so with that, I'm just saying you need, how you want to grow up to be is who you need to hang out with, because that's how you're going to end up. And again, another thing they said, this is a really good podcast, some guys from State. You can grow linearly on your own, linearly as in you're just growing at a steady rate. You're just going, you're growing, but you're just growing steadily. But with a group of good people, you can grow exponentially. You can skyrocket. And so in order to grow exponentially, to be with that group, God will put you with those right people to lead you in the right direction. And that leads us to Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. Peter and John, two of the 12 disciples, they were both really strong in their faith. All right? So why wasn't just one of them sent? And the other one could have been sent to another town that needed them. Because they need each other. You have two strong followers who probably could have done the job on their own just as good and spread the word just as much. But what if they start to fall and they don't have anybody to lean on? Then what are they going to do? They're going to suffer. You need those people, that group of people that you can lean on, that you can trust, and that you can go to when you're hurting. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 12 through 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. For my fishermen in here, tell me if I'm right or wrong. A braided fishing line is stronger than just a regular fishing line. Okay, Nicholas said I'm right. Nicholas is the best fisherman I know. Don't tell Bells I said that. But you have something that's braided, that's woven together, that's close. It's going to be hard to break, rather than if something is just like this and can easily be undone. And you can also kind of look at it as, you know, those Chinese finger traps that you put together. You put your fingers in and you can't get them out. Well, yeah, there's a way to get it undone. You can do that, yeah. Okay, back to the analogy. So, you have that Chinese finger trap and you keep on pulling, because it's interwoven and it's put together in a way that it's really hard to get undone. Find you a friend group like that, to where it's going to be really hard to break y'all up. Only by just the extreme of the extreme, you're always going to be there for each other, no matter how hard people pull at you. Okay? It's important to have that friend group. And you need those people. Having that friend group isn't just having just 10, 15, 20 friends who know your name, that you hang out with, might ride around with in your trucks. You need people who know you, who really know you on the inside rather than just seeing what you do on the outside in the world. You need those people who you can go to and tell them what's going on in your life, the people who you trust to know what's going on in your life. Five deep friendships, and by deep friendships, I mean they know what you're going through always, can be better than 30 just surface-level friendships who they know your favorite color, they know your name, they might even know your middle name, but they know your favorite place to eat. That's not a true deep friendship, and you need those true deep friendships for you to be able to build. And so now that you know how you can build your community, let's focus on how can you be the community for somebody else. And so, for this point, if you're taking notes, I have it written down as accepting the broken. Because I feel like in church, we kind of have a standard we look for the people in church. If they look like this, I'll steer clear. And I really feel like that's a lot of us. And if anybody has ever seen Jesus Revolution, it's a great movie, and it really hits on this. I'll give a short little summary. It's not really a spoiler in the movie if you want to go watch it. But basically, there's these hippies. They're trying to find something. They don't know what they're looking for, but they find this church, this Southern Baptist traditional church. They walk in with wearing these, you know, like those hippies, 70 clothes. They're walking in wearing that stuff. They've got on no shoes, dirty feet. And these people in this church, they're looking at them like, what are these guys doing? Like, why are they walking in our church like this? But they're judging them for coming into their church and praising the same way that they praise, praising the same God that they praise. But they're judging them for being the church just on the way they look when they're doing the same exact thing that they are. And I kind of look at it as some people might think of church as maybe a country club. Country clubs, normally when you think of a country club, it's for the privileged. It's somewhere that's really nice, and you don't go there unless you've got on your nicest clothes and you're walking up in there with your best manners. If you act one little wrong way, you get kicked out. That's how we don't need to look at church. We don't need to look at church as if it's only for the Christians or the saved people. Church is for the broken. Church is for the broken people to go there so that they can become whole again. They're lost, and they need to be found. And so, coming into church, you don't need to be worrying about you being judged because of your personality on how you might act, on how you might look, or your past. You don't need to worry about something that's been going on in your past and coming to church and somebody looking at you like, ooh, I know what they've been through. Like, yes, you can worry about that, but we're talking about we don't need to be the ones to look at people like that. We need to accept them for the stuff that's happened in their past. And something that it was either this past Sunday, I think it was this past Sunday, the closing prayer that Brother Ron said. In his prayer, he said, we're about people. People meaning everybody that we need to accept these people because we are the people. And so we can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. And on the screen it says, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. So I'm going to focus on admonish the idle. I had to do some Googling to find out what admonish meant and what it means in this context by idle. So what I found is that by saying admonish, it's saying to warn. And idle, as in lost, i.e., I-D-L-E, you're idling around, you're lost. So it's basically saying, warn the lost, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. If somebody's lost, and they're coming into church, they're looking for something. And with them walking into church, they're looking for the right thing. And we need to let them know that they are looking for the right thing and that they're in the right place. We don't need to drive them away because of how they might look or how they act or what their past might be. We need to accept them in and let them know that we're here to welcome them with open arms, with a warm heart, okay? And my last verse of the night, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. With this translation, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. So, with Jesus, when Jesus was here, everybody, or maybe not everybody, but the Pharisees. Well, let's look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they knew Jesus was coming eventually. They knew there was a Savior coming because they've read all the scriptures. They think they know everything about Jesus or about this Savior that's coming. And when he finally comes, they don't recognize him because they're thinking that this Savior is going to be big and almighty, which he was, but not in their eyes. I imagine they were looking for somebody that had all this fancy jewelry and that would turn away from the dirty people and that they would come straight to the palace and sit upon a throne. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus hung out with the lowly people, with the sinners, the dirty people, the sick people who nobody else would touch. Jesus associated with them because he knew they were broken and they needed to be saved. And that's how we need to be. For the people in here that went to Generate, our theme was lost and found. Somebody that went to church camp. Give me just a little summary on it. from small groups? Bueller, somebody. If not, that's okay. Yeah, Reese. The parable of the lost sheep, we talked about that one day. You've got these 99 sheep, and you've got this one lost sheep, and God is chasing after this one lost sheep. And it kind of opened my eyes a little bit, because I'd never heard it explained this way. I kind of always thought of it like, okay, God's leaving like 99 people to go get this one. Okay, cool. Well, how it was explained at camp, which I really liked, those 99 sheep are the people who have already been saved, who are already the Christians who already know God, when that one lost sheep is somebody who has never known Jesus, who has never heard about Jesus, they're lost. They're lost in life. They're lost spiritually. And God is chasing after the lost. He's seeking them to help them. And that's how we should be. We should be seeking the lost. And we should desire to want to find them, to chase them, and to be a part of their lives so that we can help them to grow, so that we can be the community that they need. And I know a lot of y'all, with being at the age y'all are, I was just at the age, I know what y'all are going through, or I've gone through similar things. I don't know exactly what y'all are going through, but I know that a lot of y'all are going through some hard stuff, and you need those people to help you go through it. And you might have your group that you're close with. You might have those friends that you're not super close with, but you know they know your name. But with that, I just want to say, like, if you need something, I'm only here for the summer. I've got to go back to state in the fall. But I'm here if you need me. And I think I can speak for the other adults in this room and some of the older kids in this room too. We're here if you need us. Okay? We know what y'all have gone through. And we know that you need somebody to help you through it. So I encourage you, as you're leaving tonight, to think of those people that you think they need somebody. Or if you're the one that needs somebody, then find somebody. Because it can really help you when you might not know that you need it or not. So, that's my sermon. And I'm going to, I know we don't normally do this, and if you don't feel comfortable doing this, then that's okay. But I want to ask for prayer requests from y'all. Because like I said, a lot of y'all are going through things that some people might not know. And I think if we get to know each other's